body acceptance leads to being multi-orgasmic. Like, it's the initial stages. Because I don't know personally anybody who isn't in body acceptance who is multi-orgasmic.
I agree. I 100% agree.
Welcome, welcome to PS I Love Me, the podcast. I am your host, Gina Swire, international self-love expert, coach, author, and manifesting queen. And I am on a mission to help a billion women fall madly in love with themselves and get everything they want in their life. And that, my friend, includes you. This podcast is for down-to-earth women who love spirituality, manifesting, and laughing at life's challenges. And remember, with self-love, anything is possible.
I want to hear from you, being the beautiful self-love queen. What has been more of your journey, you know, and I appreciate you sharing that, like, even 10 years in this work, it's still something that you catch on to time and time again. You get better at it. But what was that like for you, being, you know, too small, too big, right? And that whole journey with your physical body, did you notice how that maybe, if at all, impacted your radiance, the way you were feeling in your body, feeling sexy, being open and available to true, deep, you know, intimacy and connections?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's interesting, just to give you a little bit of story here. In March, I went to Peru on an ayahuasca dieter for like a month. And before I went to Peru, I was really having these kind of, I guess, business decisions to make. And I've been the self-love queen. And, you know, my whole message has been about self-love and self-talk and body acceptance and beliefs and all, you know, all of this. And more recently, I've moved so far into like the sacred sexuality, the plant medicine, the millionaire codes. And, you know, everyone knows me as a self-love coach, and they're always asking me about self-love. And actually what lights me up is this kind of like evolution of it. Yes. And what ayahuasca really showed me, which is so obvious now, but at the time obviously wasn't, was that it really is the self-love journey. Like, body acceptance leads to being multi-orgasmic. Like, it's the initial stages. Because I don't know personally anybody who isn't in body acceptance who is multi-orgasmic.
I agree. I 100% agree.
Oh, I'm getting goose pimples and chills at that. Oh, tree pumps are off. Yeah, so I really got to see how in my own journey, I mean, I grew up in a household where sex is, it's not just taboo, it is unheard of. Like, it's unspoken of, completely doesn't exist in my family. Even now, whenever, you know, something a bit saucy comes on the TV, my mom leaves the room. I'm like, wow.
And I'm out of here. I'm out.
Yeah. I'm like, do you know you gave birth to a sexy little daughter? So anyway, I've gone on this journey and I moved to Bali. And in Bali, 80% of people are sex coaches, tantrikas. You know, it's a very sexual community. There's lots of temple parties. And I was like, ooh, okay, this is interesting. And
can you explain that a little bit for those that are listening, you know, all around the world who've never even heard of a temple party? Can you explain a little bit, give a little bit of a context of like, what is a temple party? I mean, I know, but I would love for you who's been in Bali to share, like, what is that for those?
Absolutely.
That
yeah. So a temple party is, in my kind of what I've learned, is a space where you can be sexually expressive and practice conscious communication and tantra. It's usually always without alcohol, without drugs. It's usually always set with boundaries and permission, and you learn about your yes and your no. And often we do some practices to do with the divine masculine and the divine feminine, or, you know, whoever's guiding it may have you do some eye gazing or connection exercises. And then it usually has some free time for sexual exploration. You don't have to partake. You can watch, you can just be in the energy, you could do yoga, you could dance. You could connect with one person, you could connect with many people, You could have multiple different experiences in a night or nothing at all. So for me, it's a sort of sexual playground where I always learn something about myself. If you want to, want to see what's yet to be healed, pop yourself to a temple party. Yes. You'll soon find out.
I love this. I love this. And to give a little bit more context, because, you know, from the understanding, again, for those that are listening that are new to this, and I talk about this in other podcasts, but I love that we're talking about this, is, again, a temple party is very different than a just an orgy party or a traditional sex party, from my experience as well, because like what you said, there's the masculine, feminine education, there's the dynamics, there's also like, there is the consent aspect, but there's also, you know, a much more play component. You've been to both orgy, like traditional orgy experiences, as have I, and you've also been to temple parties, which I haven't been to a Bali temple party, but I would love to hear what would you say are some key differentiation points if we're looking at it through the lens of sacred sexuality and the difference between it being a temple party versus just like an orgy or just like a sex party?
Yeah, good question. Well, I mean, it really depends. It depends who's hosting it. It depends who's attending it. I mean, even the sex parties that I've been to in recent years, I'm usually attending with my conscious friends who are into this work. So there's probably less variation now, although generally sex parties are more like hedonistic debauchery. I actually just went to one, well, a very niche one this weekend in LA.
When you're ready to share, I would love to ask a little bit more about that one.
And ask away, my friend. Yeah, so there's usually drugs and alcohol. And, you know, I do find, even in my very first ever sex party when I was like 24, I was very surprised at the consent aspect of it. And people would come over and kind of proposition me and say, oh, there's a bed over there and I'd love you to join me. And often they were very well spoken and very articulate. And I was like, oh, this is kind of,
these are some high level parties, I've got to say. These are some high level parties.
Because at 24, growing up in England and partying, you know, all around, people just grab your ass and there's no consent. So I was like, oh, okay, I feel quite safe in this. You know, there's like an etiquette to it. Yeah. So I can't say that for every party, but personally, I've had amazing experiences. And just the most thing that I love, other than the play and the fun and the different experiences I've had, is that I always learn something about myself. And that is just so powerful.
Yeah, that's why it's such a juicy thing to discover. And without having self-love, how do you think someone would be able to navigate these types of situations?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've definitely been at temple parties. I've even held temple parties where a sister or a woman is going through something or not in their highest self-love or not very well resourced. And at a temple party, you may not end up connecting. You may go to connect with someone and the person you want to connect with is connecting with someone else, or it's a very triggering zone. Maybe you've been connecting with someone and then they're connecting with someone else and you wanted to keep them for yourself or whatever it is. I've seen sisters go down, like, and not just down in the fun way, but down in the negative spiral way,
in the catfight ways.
Yeah, into nobody loves me, no one wants to connect with me, I'm not hot, everyone's better than me. I've seen sisters spiral into the abyss and struggle afterwards with, like, you know, self-love. And ultimately, I personally hadn't had that situation. And I think that is a reflection of my self-love, you know, even if I was left alone or the person I wanted to connect with wasn't connecting with me, I have like an incredible self-pleasure practice. I would just dance. I would just move. I would meditate. I would talk to people, or I'd be on my own. And that is the self-love aspect, you know? So it's very, that's why I say, if you want to learn what's left to love about yourself, go to a sex party, go to a temple party. You'll soon see what you're telling yourself, and you'll soon see what there is to heal and where you can deepen your self-love.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with this as well. This is, you know, part of my journey. And I love what you said, it's the evolution part of my journey began with self-love, began with, you know, healing myself and connecting with my body and noticing all the definite negative chatter that was going on in my head. And then it became a natural evolution into exploring my sexuality in a sacred way, which also, and I've said on the show again, but I'll say it here, which was again through ayahuasca. Like it was not only doing, you know, years of research and exploring and trying things with partner or with partners at the time, it was by having this multi-orgasmic experience on plant medicine in ayahuasca where I became fully multi-orgasmic, making love with spirit, right? And my whole body becoming so alive. And even in that space, little tinges of the voice of like, is this okay? Can I have this? Am I allowed to experience this? Is this wrong? Is this taboo? Is this distracting? So even like in the most sacred ceremonial container, I can meet my own smaller version of myself, my own ego self, the part that tries to protect or keep me small. And I love what you're saying to that is because having the right type of tools and resources, being mentors or programs or community, helps us to see the parts of ourselves that we're not able to see. And I believe that self-love is the foundation for all love, truly, even when we're in a romantic relationship. When we're not in a romantic relationship, we want to be in a romantic relationship, but then when you're in a romantic relationship, all this stuff comes up and you've got to come back to that foundation of self-love. And then when you're in a relationship, it's like, well, sometimes you wish you weren't in a relationship or things were easier. And then there's also that component, right? There's so many ways that really loving ourselves, mind, body, and spirit always come back home to that piece. And I say is that when we take the next evolution, going from the root chakra of fight or flight survival mode, which is knowing that I'm okay, knowing that I'm safe in my body, knowing that like I can take care of myself, right? I'm loved, I'm cared for, even in a temple party situation or just in our own relationship to ourselves, right? Alone, that once we have that piece dialed in, the safety component to feel safe enough in our bodies, like we're not going to escape due to trauma or we're not going to binge eat to check out, that we're like, okay, that used to be you. Okay. That was me in college as well. Right. I would be feeling loneliness. I'd be feeling numbness. I would not be in loathing of myself. I would be feeling depressed that I wasn't in relationships or that I would be dating and having sex with all these guys, but that it wasn't going anywhere. And yet I would overconsume and fill and check out because I was in my head. I wasn't in my feminine. I wasn't in my body. I didn't have dance practices that were embodied feminine practices besides dance performance choreography. It was like that was a performance component. And it wasn't a joyful component. It wasn't an easeful feminine flow component. So just coming back to what we're saying is like, once we feel really safe in the body and we're not doing destructive patterns to binge, to check out, to smoke a ton of weed or to have a lot of alcohol, whatever it is to kind of lower the guards and get us out of our head and back into our body, then we can really evolve into what I call that next level love. And it's next level love by being in a loving relationship to our sexuality and our sexual energy, which requires maturity, because love and sex, from my perspective, requires us to show up mature if we're going to actually grow and learn in this arena that already feels uncomfortable, right? It already feels taboo. But if we're showing up with an attitude that's young or immature or judgy, or what would you add in there? What are some other pieces that you could see as a contributing factor?
Like wounded, the wounded child, needy.
The wounded maiden.
Yeah, the wounded maiden. Yeah, just like not in a high vibe, self-sabotaging, low bullshit thoughts, just looping and being addicted to like the lower frequencies of lack, fear, guilt, grief, all of this, and not being in that like joy and like the maturity of the heart.
I love that. The maturity of the heart. Yeah, absolutely. And so this is going to come out if we go to a sex party. This is going to come out if we go to a fetish party. This is going to come out even if you're one-to-one on a date that's on Bumble or Tinder or Hinge or whatever it is, right? Because everything is a mirror for us. So looking at these pieces, it's like, okay, you used to have this unhealthy relationship with your body and with food. I had an unhealthy relationship. And here we are as these beautiful sex priestesses evolved out, right? Doing this beautiful, empowering, healing work. And yet we still have these opportunities to love ourselves deeply when we're put into these situations. So it's like, speaking of like situations, is there anything that I touched on so far that you wanted to add into or sprinkle any of your magic on?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you were just kind of talking about being at these places and being in having your own energy and having your own self-love practice, what was really coming through to me, I like to call it sexually independent. So this is basically on the self-love journey, having such an amazing self-love practice and an amazing self-pleasure practice. And I've actually, as you know, just been celibate for a whole year. I've recently broken it.
So that's right. I was with you when we did it.
Yeah.
Not when you did it. Not when you did it, but when you made the decision to choose to break it.
Exactly. So people are like, how the hell did you do that? Why would you do that? And I was like, well, yeah, I see what you're saying. And I am my own best lover. You know, I am an amazing lover to myself. Like my sex with myself, like I get to fuck myself as much as I want. And it's amazing. And so although I did have a desire to have a partner again, but I just really was in my healing. I'd had a breakup and I was doing other things and I was in a process and it didn't feel wrong to me. And I felt so nourished and so vibrant and so well fucked the whole year, you know? So yeah, there's that. And I guess it also ties in with being at a temple party, like socially independent. Like I'm very used to taking myself on dates. I'm very used to taking myself out for dinner. I'll go anywhere on my own and I'll love it. And yes, I also love going with friends. I'm very social. I'm an extrovert. I have loads of friends. I've had loads of boyfriends. I love doing that too. And I really have cultivated a love of being socially independent in any situation. Mm-hmm. And I find a lot of people have not cultivated that to a level where they can be truly happy with it, you know, and they are feeling lonely or they are feeling sad. And that's another part of the self-love journey, to be so independent and make space to have the right person meet you where from that place, you know. I know you guys are nailing this right now over there.
Yeah, we're nailing it over here. And, you know, you really nailed something on the head when you were speaking at it. You used the word wrong. You said, you know, when I felt into this, it didn't feel wrong. And for those that are, you know, listening as well, how many times we judge ourselves and judge our desires as wrong when it's a clear, direct, full body yes inside of us of a desire that we want when it's done in a healthy, safe, conscious, intentional way that we can have exactly what it is that we desire because we're independent of the good or bad opinions of others. It's our decision. That's what sovereignty is. We're sovereign sexual beings. We are choosing to reclaim our sexual power, our sexual magic by making and acting upon the choices that our heart and our pussy desires us to be pulled and drawn to without question, without judgment, and full acceptance and full safety within ourselves. That is sexy.
It's pimples.
Oh, that is powerful.
If you've loved this podcast, if you have taken anything away, then do everybody a favor and please share it. Leave a 5-star review. This will help us to get noticed, to get seen, and for more of the right people to hear it.